Jesus' name.
Amen.
I bring you greetings from Amazing Grace Ministry. As co-founder with my lovely wife, Evangelist Ida S. Mays, we've been called to make a difference in the lives of every believer by teaching them what God has given us to share in these lasting evil days.
Amen.
I shared with my wife the other day that our popularity will not be great because we have not the Joshua anointing, but the John the Baptist anointing, which is still telling a world, including the church, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've shared that the word at hand means available, that we've no longer been shut out, we've no longer been neglected, we're no longer estranged or alienated from the commonwealth of God, but God has extended to all of us as believers an invitation to come unto Him. So we come with all of our baggage, we come with our doubts and our fears, we come with our limitations, we come even with our drama, and we come with so many things that if I was God, I would see us coming and even perhaps close the door. But God invited us to come.
Thank you, Lord.
And because of that, we know that He is fully prepared to receive us unto Himself.
Thank you, Jesus.
That He's more than capable to handle anything that we bring Him. Because the Bible asks the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Well.
And so we thank God today that this teaching, haven't figured it out yet, there's a thief in your life, will be the kind of message that shakes the foundation.
Yes, Lord.
That sounds the alarm.
Yes.
That causes us to examine from pillar to post and from head to toe everything that is going on in our life.
Well.
And help us to identify and to also acknowledge and also to seek guidance about the thief that is in our life. There may not yet be manifestation of the thief in your life, because if you know anything about a thief, he does have the ability to lay dormant, or as some people have coined, he can play possum.
Well,
you might believe that you've killed him, that you've eliminated him, that you've gotten rid of him. But he could be just playing possum. More than likely, he is just playing possum. And so we hope that this teaching from lesson number one will help us to understand what's really going on in our lives. I want to first of all start this teaching with a brief history of a thief. A brief history of a thief. I think that in this materialistic age and environment and atmosphere which we're in, we are being constantly bombarded with possessing stuff and things.
Well.
But I think it's interesting to note that the first theft that occurred in the Word of God, and if you're not careful, you'll miss it, had absolutely nothing to do with materialistic stuff.
Amen.
Where's the first theft that you know about?
In the garden.
And that would be the general consensus of probably everybody in here, that the first theft was in the garden. And what was stolen?
A relationship with God.
Well, let's look at that. It was actually our innocence.
Innocence.
Our innocence was stolen. You might want to write that down, because that's vitally important, because once our innocence was removed, that's why we now are told to have knowledge. Knowledge wasn't important until we lost our innocence. And innocence is not materialistic. Innocence is a virtue. Innocence is a foundational truth. Innocence is God's way of removing from our life any corruption that poses a threat to our relationship with Him. So He hoped that we would remain innocent, but we didn't.
That's good.
Now, that would be the first theft that most people would recognize. But I want to go and identify another theft that occurred before the theft in the garden. Now, I know somebody's wondering. What theft occurred before the one in the garden?
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm glad you asked me. I want to look at Isaiah. Chapter 14. And this is a synopsis or summary of the divisive activity that was going on in heaven.
Well,
when Lucifer, son of the morning, began to have envy and jealousy towards God, and the first theft is right here in verse number 14, when he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Lucifer was determined. Now watch this. This is nothing materialistic, but this is what God placed a great value on. Lucifer wanted to steal and rob God of His glory.
Jesus.
That's the first theft you will see, is that the devil was trying to steal from God. That way you don't have to be so surprised when the devil is trying to rob or steal from you. Anything that you do for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because here you see that he was trying to steal. He says in 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart." You can kind of get the flavor. He said in his heart, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." He said in his heart, and we know what the heart is, according to Jeremiah 17 and 9, it is deceitful.
Above all.
Matter of fact, I think this is a wonderful time to break in and hand out the heart handout.
Jesus.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so Lucifer had already engaged in this subtle theft. And he continued to operate in the mode of stealing when we see him appearing in the garden. Now, you'll miss this because sequentially Genesis comes before Isaiah. But you got to understand that Isaiah is not a book or the account of creation. It is a book that allows us to get a view into prophetic realms of the spirit that helps us to understand our spiritual dynamics as a child of God and a believer, that there's always going to be an attempt upon any of us by the devil to steal from us that which God has given and ordained. Amen.
Amen.
So you have your heart handout, and it's kind of a handout that allows you to take inventory. So I want you to understand that one of the thieves that operate currently in the life of a believer is failure to examine himself or to take inventory.
Jesus.
Inventory is a word that is used mostly throughout commercial industries where merchandise and products are tracked and accounted for. Inventory is the kind of word that allows us to know what we really have on hand. What's in there? What's on the shelf? What's in the heart? So we have to take inventory. Inventory.
Yes.
Inventory. And failure to take inventory means that someone could have slipped in and plumaged or pilfered, that's the term that they use, when it's not a person who's shoplifting that gets you, it's the lack of internal controls, where someone who is working for you steals the inventory and takes it out of the back door. That's the same thing that goes on in the heart. If you don't take inventory, while you weren't paying attention, while you were busy, while you were preoccupied, you had no idea that there was an internal theft.
Yes.
By the flesh.
Yes.
That went over into the spirit realm and took out the back door. What you saw was there yesterday.
Mmm. My God.
I wish I had a witness.
Amen.
And so we're talking about there's a thief in your life, and we need to understand that one of the things that makes the thief so powerful is that we fail to examine ourselves. We don't take inventory of our heart. Now watch why it's important to take inventory of the heart. Two reasons. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so, when you do not take inventory or examine the heart, your ability to become what God wants you to become, and the ability to know the primary issues that you want to talk and discuss, not only with human people, but also with God,
yes,
is eliminated. Because out of the heart, these are the real issues of life. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me get ahead of myself, because sometimes I've watched enough shows. My wife will now see the benefit of me watching all these shows when it comes to teaching this lesson. That sometimes there is an exchange that I've watched TV long enough to watch people who bring you a container, and on the container it says Sony VCR DVD,
mm-hmm,
top of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And today, because I have so many of these, I want to sell them to you at a bargain price. Well, the outside wrapping is always supposed to indicate what the contents are inside of the box. Stay with me, I'm going someplace. But little do we know that the desire of the thief is that we get so excited about making the deal or getting something broke off or getting a bargain or getting it marked down, that in our excitement we do not give due diligence to checking at least a couple of the boxes to make sure that the box contains what is said on the outside.
Yes.
Watch this. Follow me. Most thieves are banking on the fact that if they push you and get you in what they call the hurry-up mode, gotta make this deal, Doc. If you don't buy today, it won't be available tomorrow. I got to go. I got to be on the other side of town in 15 minutes. The thief is setting you up to make a hasty decision so that he can rip you off. And so he sells you 10 of them. And he's already checked out the weight to make sure that the box weighs in your hand what it's supposed to. He did that at home.
Mm.
He put enough rocks in there until it had the right weight. And he sold you 10 VCR boxes full of rocks. We've got to be careful.
Yes.
Because there's a thief in our life called haste. There's a thief in our life called haste. Hurry up.
Jesus.
The songwriter said it best, even about God. You can't hurry God. No, you just have to
wait.
And God says to all of us, out of his word, he says, waiting's not such a bad thing. He says, listen, waiting creates patience.
Amen.
And then he says, let patience have
her
perfect work. So in other words, Patience is a building block.
Yes.
Patience is what God uses to keep us from hasty decisions.
Amen.
That look good from the outside, but lack substance and anointing. I've seen people who hurry up and get into ministry.
Jesus.
Ah, Jesus. The other day I was watching TV. These two young ladies had been ripped off by this preacher who promised to ordain them. And after they had paid all this money, they found out that he wasn't even ordained himself, that he was setting up these various locations.
Jesus.
And ripping them off because they wanted to hurry up. And normally when people want to hurry up and do something without giving due diligence or not wanting to go through proper procedure,
well,
they are probably in some kind of rebellion.
Amen.
Against God-ordained authority.
Authority. Yes.
Touch somebody and say, don't hurry up.
Don't hurry up.
Don't
do it.
Don't be in such a big hurry.
Amen.
God sometimes may just have you standing still.
Yes.
God may have you at the feet of your mentor.
Yes.
And since we brought that up, that's another fee, lack of mentorship.
Well,
lack of mentorship. You can see mentorship in a lot of places in the Word of God, but the one that's probably known the most is Elijah and Elisha. They have a connection in the apostolic, where Elijah tells his protege, he says, I'm going to have to leave you. Now watch what he really says. He says, the ministry that I was able to conduct, he says, the anointing I had on my life at the time that I was in ministry was sufficient. It was enough to get the job done. But he looks at his protege and says, but I'm going to leave you. He says, now, if you see me when I go, he says, I'm going to leave you a double portion of my anointing. Because you're about ready to do ministry in a time and season when what I had won't be enough to get the job done. You're going to need a double anointing. They're not getting it right.
Amen.
We have to make sure that we don't fail God because we get in such a hurry and not request from God in the area of anointing what we need to get the job done.
Well,
what, why are you saying that? Because everyone in ministry today needs what I call the last day's anointing.
Yes, yes.
The last day's anointing. Because we are in the dispensation time.
Yes.
Of the last days, when Timothy breaks out in the third chapter and tells us, and he's been telling us for 2,000 years,
well,
that we are in perilous, difficult, trying times of hardship and upheaval.
Yes.
And he goes on to identify all of the manifestations that will occur in these last days or perilous times. He says that it'd be difficult for the novice, the new kid on the block, to understand and to identify God's calendar of events in human history. Now, I remember I've had several sons and daughters in the ministry. And I didn't just find out until recently when I was actually talking to my wife, who is in ministry. And I had to tell her, I says, don't do in your sermon preparation or anything else, don't do what you see me do. And I didn't understand exactly why I was telling her that, but I knew that what I told her was from the Lord. And then the Lord shared with me the other day a thief called the Thief of Shortcuts.
Jesus.
Write that down. The Thief of Shortcuts. I really didn't know where to go with that, the Thief of Shortcuts. And then the Lord says, well, he says, I'm going to give you an example. He says, that's not sufficient. He says, I got plenty of, but let me start with this one. He says, I want you to take a look at the car next door to you. I was going down the highway when all this occurred, and I looked over, and the car next to me was a driver's education car. It had an instructor and a student. The Lord says, take a good look at the student. What do you see him doing? I see that he's got both hands on the wheel, and he's turning on his turn signals, and he's doing everything that he's being taught in regards to the right way. And he says, good, now go back in your life and remember you took driver's ed. And when you took driver's ed, several things happened. First of all, they gave you a discount on your insurance, because when you graduated, they said you were a safe driver. You knew what you were doing. Secondly, you had to pass a performance evaluation from the instructor. And I said, well, that's great, Father. And he says, well, what else you want to tell me? He says, this is the problem with the shortcut, the thief of the shortcut. If after you've been driving for 5 years and you're going down the street and you get in trouble while driving, car gets out of control, he says, knowing the shortcut won't save you, but going back to the basics will.
Jesus.
He says, most people don't know that if you get in trouble using shortcuts, you can't get out of trouble with more shortcuts.
Mm.
You've got to know the basics.
Jesus.
He says, that's true with cooking.
Yes.
He says, that's true with every area of life. Gardening.
Yes.
He says, everything has a primary basic principle that everything else is derived from. He says, now when you mature, you can probably move away from the basics. He says, but when you get in trouble using the shortcuts, the only thing that'll rescue you is going back to the basics.
Well,
he says people who learn nothing but a shortcut.
Well,
don't understand that there's a thief in their life. Because when they get in trouble, they don't know the basics. They don't know the basics about praying.
That's good, Pastor.
They don't know the basics about fasting.
That's good, Pastor.
They don't know the basics about living holy.
Yes.
They don't know the basics about anything because what they're doing is mimicking all of the shortcuts.
Jesus.
That you see in the body of Christ. And when that doesn't work or when their life gets in trouble, they don't know how to get back to the basics to save themselves. Oh, I wish I had a witness.
Help us, Lord.
We don't know the basics, so we are allowing the thief of the shortcuts.
Help us, Lord.
To make it seem like we don't have no power.
Jesus.
And the reality of it is, shortcuts may get you there quicker. They may be more exciting to do.
Well.
But there's no replacement.
No replacement.
For standing on a firm foundation.
Amen.
There's no replacement for basic truths.
Amen.
Out of the Word of God.
Yes.
I know we got Bible on computer. And I know we
well,
got sermons that you can buy. We can do all of that stuff. But what happens if the electricity don't work?
Yes!
Do you still know how to sit down at your desk and longhand write out your message and still have the quality or more quality in it than you did when you were using all the shortcuts?
Woo, Lord!
We've made what God wants us to do a ministry of convenience. But God wanted me to let somebody know today that there's a thief out there called the thief of the shortcut.
Yes, yes.
And he's wreaking havoc on this generation because they don't know how to do it from the basics. Somebody say ouch.
Ouch.
And so I want to thank my wife for that because she was the one that helped identify that when I was telling her the other day, don't wait till Saturday to do your message. That's a shortcut. Don't watch me with the shortcut because I do know the basics. Been at it long enough. Amen. So don't start from the shortcut. Start from, make yourself.
Yes.
Start from the basics.
Yes.
So that if you ever get in trouble.
Well.
With the shortcut.
Yes.
You still can rely on the principles that you learned from the basics.
Yes.
That you can still put a message together if you don't have a laptop.
Yes.
You can still put a message together if you don't even have the Word of God in printed form.
Amen.
You know how to work the Word from the basics.
Yes, Lord.
You know how to recall from your spirit.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Your heart. Can stand and proclaim the riches and the truth.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Good, good, Pastor.
So. The thief of
shortcuts.
Want to talk about pride, the thief of the anointed.
Well,
there's a scripture over in the Old Testament that asks the question, why has the mighty now, let's go back to Lucifer just for a moment. How many of you know that Lucifer was an anointed cherubim angel?
Yes, he was.
And what robbed him of his close relationship with God,
Jesus,
was that he got lifted up in pride.
Jesus.
The Bible says that pride comes before
destruction.
Destruction. So when you look out today and you see all of the anointed vessels of God that he's using in such a time as this, many of them are falling, not to the extent that they disappear from the word network, but they're falling from understanding that their job is not to build a kingdom for themselves.
Well,
but their job is to build a kingdom for God.
Yes, yes.
And to help somebody.
Hallelujah.
Along the way. When I look around at this teaching and I don't see any support from anybody, then pride is the thief of the anointing.
Jesus.
It took me a while to see that until I looked, when I looked
say
at
that,
Lucifer.
Pastor.
And it says that Lucifer was an anointed cherubim. This was not just some ordinary archangel, somebody who was just coming and going. He was anointed.
Jesus.
The anointed cherubim angel. And he got in trouble because the thief called pride.
Help us, Lord.
Stole from him his humbleness, his appreciation, his subjection to God the Father, his pride. The thief robbed him of being content with where God had placed him in the angelic order of the heavenly host.
Well,
so pride is the thief of the anointing. If we're not careful, those of us who are in this room,
help us, Lord,
when we start experiencing any degree of success,
Jesus,
we've got to always be on lookout, because there's a thief always in our life called
yes,
pride.
Yes.
And it will take from you your joy that you got from your small beginnings. It'll rob you,
Jesus,
of having sensitivity towards someone who's trying to do what you did and you're not willing to help them. Pride, the thief of the anointed.
Jesus.
Why has the mighty fallen? I remember there was a season going on in the body of Christ when great waves were going through the body of Christ, with this anointed preacher falling and that one falling and this one falling. Just let me list about three or four for you. Huey Rogers, Jimmy Baker, Jimmy Swagger.
Help us, Lord.
Gorman. There was a list of anointed preachers who did not keep a vigilant watch for the thief in their life called pride. And they started thinking more highly of themselves,
Jesus,
than they ought to. And so I want to caution everyone,
amen,
about the thief called pride.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because he can look like confidence.
Well,
he'll talk like confidence. He'll dress like confidence. He'll hang around what he supposes are other confident folk and miss out that is not confidence, but pride.
Amen.
He ain't got time for you no more. When he sees you coming, he turns and goes in the opposite direction. I'm talking about somebody who used to be your friend and
Jesus.
Your confidence. Because they are experiencing a certain degree of success. No longer have time for you. You've got to stop at the gatekeeper and have your name penciled in on the calendar.
Jesus.
Get in to see someone that you can stop by and take to lunch any day of the week. But there's a thief in their life now called
pride.
And I pray today that we won't let pride rob us of connectivity and relationships that were so meaningful and purposeful in
yes.
our lives before we started climbing the ladder of success. And let's be honest, some people are prideful and they ain't even got nothing.
Jesus.
So, I want you to look out for the pride, the thief of the anointed. Now, I want to talk about stealing for a living. Stealing for a living is the rebellion against God's word as a result of our disobedience in the garden. God told us that from now on we would have to toil in the soil.
Yes, he did.
In order for us to live and to eat. Amen.
Amen.
He says if you don't work, you don't eat. And so, since that time, men and women have not understood that there's a thief in their life who is compelling them to steal to live. This is done in contrary and total contradiction to the word of God and the mandate that God has given.
Yes, yes.
Stealing for
a living.
And I really need to probably connect this with topic number 4 from the 18th of August. It says, there's a thief ring in my family. It's a family affair of generational
curses.
Everybody should know what a thief ring is.
Well,
everybody that's associated with this circle of people is stealing for a living. And sometimes you'll be surprised to find out it's a family affair.
Jesus!
It's a generational curse. I'm a thief because my daddy was
a thief.
And we've got to understand that I told you that the definition of a thief is stealing something without consent or authority of known or unknown value. And sometimes we are so materialistic that we think that the only thing that somebody wants is something that has monetary value.
Yes.
But we need to understand that sometimes there's a thief ring going on and they're not stealing materialistic stuff. They're stealing my self-respect.
Amen.
They're stealing and stripping me of a good reputation.
Yes.
They're stealing and taking away my confidence to live right and holy, because every time I want to live right, they come along and steal it from me with words of discouragement.
Yes.
Stealing for a living has broad application. Stealing for a living means that all I do from day to day is take from someone. Take from someone. Now there is a scripture that helps us in knowing where to put our valuables. It's a scripture that tells us to store not up treasures where thieves and robbers break in to steal and moth doeth come and corrode.
Amen. But
lay yourself up treasures in
that's good,
in,
Pastor.
In heaven.
Yes.
That what I'm doing right now, you don't really care about because you don't see that I'm not trying to place value on it down here. There is a much significant place
Amen.
Where I can put it and get a better return on my investment. If I want to be found, if I want somebody to notice what I'm doing, I'm trying to get God's attention, because once I get God's attention, if I'm earnestly doing what God wants me to do, I will also get God's approval.
Amen.
Press on and to move forward.
Amen.
He'll give me resources.
Amen.
He'll be able to help me along the way. So stealing for a living. There's a thief ring in my family. Generational curses. And talking again. And my wife doesn't know that a lot of times the conversations that we have trigger something about a message or a teaching, or I get a principle from it. She doesn't know that. She doesn't know that the other day when I was calling her and she was all grumpy about me calling, and I was saying, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, that she is currently employed by me. And just like if she was working on the job and the boss told her to come, she better not stomp her feet or come in there with an attitude, because she can be easily terminated and fired.
That's right.
That she should come because she's assigned and connected to me for a season. And I'm not just going to ask you to come for no reason. I remember the other day I was someplace and this girl was working very hard, and the boss came out and said, come here, I need to see you. And she had to stop everything that she was doing. She picked up her pad with a smile on her face, walked into the boss's office. I was there long enough to see her come out still writing. She laid the pad down and picked right up where she left off. Didn't miss a beat, no mumbling, no complaining, still was very pleasant. I think that we need to understand that there's a calling upon our life.
Amen.
And this calling upon our life is something that is connected to purpose, and it can be stolen. Let me share with you. I wrote a few little notes down. Because I think it's important when we look at this generational curses thing. We need to understand that your past can pave the way to your future. That according to Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord.
Yes,
and
yes.
And according to his purpose. I want to take a moment. I don't think this is in your handout, but I want to take a moment to review the inspired definition of a thief. Someone who steals or takes from others anything of known or unknown value without consent or authority, by using force, lies, deceit, intimidation, or threats. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to write down that this is important. Anytime something is stolen from you, it will deprive you. Ah, there it is. That's the word. It will deprive you from its use, possession, and covenant right and authority. To use it, own it, possess it. A thief always wants to deprive you. Always wants to deprive you. Take it away from you. Keep you from having. A thief always wants to deprive you of that which God desires for you to have.
Amen.
A thief, when he deprives you of something, wants to separate. Put that down. That's, you got it. Listen. Jesus had to remind Peter and said, Peter, the devil desires you. He desires to sift you as wheat. In other words, he was telling Peter that the devil desires to separate you from your strength.
Jesus.
Think about the thief called sickness.
Jesus.
Sickness is used to separate you
from your strength. Help us, Lord.
So it deprives you and separates you from your strength.
Mm.
Deprives you and separates you from the ordained thing in your life. And we need to understand that life becomes much more complicated for the saint when he fails to realize that God's primary way of working in our life is working through what he's ordained, what
yes.
he's approved, what he's touched and
yes.
consecrated. We want him, if we're over here, we think we got something, we'll say, God, come over here and work through this. When God is saying, no, I already gave you this thing over here that I ordained. And you're wanting me to take all the power and shift it to something over there that I didn't ordain. And he says, I won't do it because what you're doing is not for my name's sake.
Jesus.
This over here is for my name's sake. That my name may be great in all the earth. This is ordained so that you can't get the glory. Over there, if I shift the power over here and it works, you're going to get the glory. But if I stay over here,
well,
in this ordained thing,
yes,
he says, I'm going to get the credit.
My God.
You won't be able to steal this.
Mm-mm.
And so the devil's always trying to separate us and deprive us by using force, lies, deceit, and intimidation or threats. He's always looking for something to take from us of value, either known or
unknown.
And we'll hit that right after we finish up our break. Long break right now.
Amen.